You got your Bibles. You're going to need a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we can get you one. We got lots of Bibles. If you need a Bible, you can raise your hand. We can bring out a Bible. Anyone needs a Bible? No? And we're going to have the translation. If you are Thai and would like the Thai translation, also, we can take care of that for you. All right. So I don't know if you guys know or not, but today is Pentecost Sunday. I don't know if any of you knew that. So today, throughout church history, we've celebrated the gift of the Holy Spirit. And before we get going in today's message, I want to turn over to Acts. Acts chapter 2, and we're going to look at a few verses here as we get going. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. These believers were filled with the Holy Spirit. And before this, if you were to read before, they were fearful, but they were no longer fearful. In fact, now they were filled with the Spirit. They were filled with joy. They were filled with peace. They were empowered. They were given special abilities, all by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit. Then, as we know, God, once he empowered them, he would then send them out into the world to accomplish his will. If you look just in Acts chapter 2, look at verse 14. It says, "Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, 'Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this.'" And the story would go on. They are now empowered through the Holy Spirit. They've stepped out and they're shouting out and they're preaching the good news of Jesus Christ through the filling of the Holy Spirit. Again, these believers are now filled with faith, hope, gifted through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, equipping them to go prophesy then in the name of Jesus Christ. Many of you know the story in Acts. 3,000 people got saved that day, and that was through the Holy Spirit using men. So today, we have the Holy Spirit, and he abides in each and every one of us that have came to faith in Jesus Christ. And today, he still empowers each and every one of us to go out and accomplish his work to fulfill the Great Commission. And I think, as modern Christians in today's era, we got to be careful. Because I think a lot of us can limit in our minds the miraculous work that God can still do and is doing. We got to remember that nothing is impossible with our God. No miracle is too big for our God to accomplish his will. Now, doubting the power of God or his miraculous works, seeing that maybe you think something is outside of his ability, is what is happening in this story today, I believe, that we're going to get into. So beginning with last week's, I kind of stopped halfway, right? Last week. Beginning with last week's message, Jesus had been teaching way back in Luke. He had been teaching in the villages east of the Jordan, we know. And while he was teaching and sharing there, he received a message. He received a message about Lazarus and how Lazarus was sick. He received this from Mary and Martha. Then Jesus, after hearing the news, he waited. He waited 2 days, even knowing that it was a 2-day journey in front of him. Now remember, this is Bethany, Jerusalem. This is the same place where previously, they had tried to stone him. Now, the disciples, we taught on this last week, they weren't too excited to go back there. I mean, they didn't understand the purpose. They knew what happened last time. But then we know from last week's passages that Jesus then explained to them, Lazarus is dead. Then they agreed to go. But remember Thomas? Remember what Thomas said? He said, "Let's go and die with Jesus." A great verse for making bumper stickers and putting on t-shirts. But then, upon Jesus and the disciples' arrival, he was met by Martha, and he was met by her disappointment saying, Jesus, if you'd only been here earlier, my brother could have been saved. So then Jesus began speaking to her to assure her of who he is. Turn to John chapter 11. We're going to look at a few verses in review. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? The question that comes on all of us as we start the review is, do we believe this? When a person says, I believe in Jesus, what are they truly saying? What are we saying? I think it's a question that we need to really answer. When we say, yes, I believe in Jesus, what do you truly believe? Now, Jesus gave a great definition, again, in verse 25 and 26, as we just saw. But again, how would you personally define your belief in Jesus? Who is the Jesus that you believe in? Because I know, and I believe many people even here today, misunderstand who Jesus truly is. And it's shown in our lives, in our walk, in our faith as Christians, that their belief is not really accurate or complete of who Jesus is. This was my testimony, and I've shared it with you. Jesus was a far-off insurance policy. I believed in him, but my belief was not complete. So let's continue in John, in the story today as we begin. In John chapter 11, let's look at verse 27. Yes, Lord, she told him, I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. She then responds to Jesus with a correct answer. This was very correct. The Messiah, the Son of God, the one who came from God into this world. Again, I come back with my question. How would you define Jesus, the one that you believe? Martha, her depth of belief was theologically correct, wasn't it? It's exactly who Jesus Christ is, then and today. But how would you answer that personally? Something I believe was actually missing. Actually, I think a lot was missing. Not missing, but the depth of who he is to us personally in our lives today. And that's what I want to address and look as we go through this. That if we would address in ourselves the ones that we believe, the one that we believe in Jesus in a deeper sense. And I want us to see Jesus, because Martha saw him as salvation, and it was true. But what she didn't see is him right there in front of him, standing in her presence, is the one who could work a miracle right there, right then. So look at the passage again. It says, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Jesus' promise here, his I am statement, is speaking of the resurrection, but it's also speaking of us today, because we are resurrected from sin and death the moment that we place our faith in Jesus Christ. We are born again. We are born anew. The power of Jesus, the power of the resurrection, the power of who he is and what he's done, is not just a future tense that we have, an insurance policy. It's what we live in today in the power of Jesus through our faith in him. I want to turn to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives within me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I want to turn to another verse, Philippians 3:10. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. Martha believed in Jesus and in Jesus' promise. But what I think was missing is her in that moment, she didn't realize the power of Jesus right there, right before her, in that very day, in that moment. And I think many of us as Christians, believe in Jesus. We believe in God's promises. But in our daily walk, as we live that out daily as Christians, do we really believe the Holy Spirit, that Jesus can work today, just as he worked in the early church? Martha didn't even consider that Jesus could perform a miracle. She believed it was too late. This was outside of what Jesus could do. It was too late for her brother, is what she believed. Now, many of us, I think, it's my own testimony, but even in here today, I think there's some people that would have the same belief. So let's read back in John and see what's going to happen and what Martha's going to do after Jesus has proclaimed this in verse 28 through 29. Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, "The teacher is here and wants to see you." So Mary immediately went to him. After responding to Jesus' question, "Do you believe, Martha?" she still saw no hope for her brother. In fact, she just goes and calls her sister Mary to come and meet with Jesus since he was there. I really see her as indignant here. I mean, Jesus is there with her, and she simply just goes to get her sister to tell her that Jesus is there. I don't think it really crossed her mind at this point. She didn't even comprehend the power of Jesus. She just went along and did what she needed to do to get through this situation as she walked through that grief and walked through this horrific situation. She goes, she gets her sister's attention without making it known to everyone else that Jesus was there. And then we see that Mary left and went to meet with Jesus. You know, I think about this as Mary walked to meet with Jesus. They were very close. I'm sure she was full of very mixed emotions as she was walking through her brother's death. I'm sure she was going to Jesus. She was looking for comfort from Jesus and full of questions to present before Jesus, as we all do in these times, don't we? Asking why? Why? And if only Jesus, if only. As she's walking there and she's arriving, let's see what happens in verse 30 through 32. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep, so they followed her there. Verse 32. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." Again, I see a misunderstanding at many different levels of who Jesus is and who he is today. Do you see her response to Jesus in the passage? It was the same as his sister, as her sister's, wasn't it? And perhaps many of ours at times. "Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died." I'm sure these sisters and the family and the friends had said this 100 times in the last 4 days. "Lord, if Jesus, you'd only been there. Where is Jesus?" Now, nobody in this story right now, as we read it, has faith that Lazarus can be brought back to life. They believe it's too late. They'd given up hope. They believed there was no hope for Lazarus now. He was dead, but they had faith in Jesus. They said he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. So they did have that future hope, but they had no hope that day. Today was hopeless. They were grieving. And we see this as Mary fell at Jesus' feet crying, if only Jesus, you had been here. But now, it's too late. Let me tell you something. It's never too late for Jesus to work a miracle in someone's life. We should never give up hope. We are never hopeless. I don't know God's will for every situation. I don't know God's plan for every situation. But a miracle is never outside of his ability. Mary and his family situation was difficult. It was hard. They were dealing with the passing of their brother. But we also, each one of us today, will face, just as this family, hard times. We were just praying about it. We'll face ourselves cancer, disease, disappointments, delays, death. But even when we face all these things, just as this family has and so many have recently in this church, we must never give up hope that God's going to work a miracle through the situation. And we also must seek the encouragement of His Word, the Word of God. We must live by faith. Again, their situation did seem hopeless. I mean, we all agree with that. That seemed very hopeless. Yet there is always hope through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. I want to look at a verse, Psalm 50, 15. Psalm 50, 15. Then call on me when you are in trouble, and I will rescue you. And I like this part. And you will give me glory. That's a beautiful verse. So Jesus is always present, even when it seems hopeless. He's always working for God's glory to glorify God. But sometimes the miracles that do happen are not necessarily what we would expect. It doesn't always work out exactly how we would hope, does it? But that doesn't mean God isn't working. And that doesn't mean that miraculous things aren't taking place. So let's look back to these sisters' response to Jesus. Because as we see these sisters' response to Jesus, their hopelessness, it should get us kind of excited. Like, Jesus was with you, and you were hopeless. It should get us excited, because Jesus is going to get a little bit excited, and we're going to see that. Let's look back in John chapter 11, verses 33 through 34. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Verse 34. Where have you put him? He asked them. We read Jesus' reaction to what he has seen and all that's taken place. The verse said he was angered and troubled. Why? Why was Jesus looking upon this situation and angered and troubled? Deeply troubled, it says. I asked this myself, and I read upon it, and I prayed about it. And this is my opinion. This is what I believe. I believe Jesus saw their reaction to death. And this was not a heart. Their reaction was not a heart of trusting God and His promises. Their response to Lazarus' death was an intense weeping and wailing. Now, this was culturally normal in what the people did. It's true. But Jesus was with them. He was present with them, among them, just as he is with us today in the Holy Spirit. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. We just looked at this last week, but we're going to look at it again. Verses 4, chapter 4, 13 through 14. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like the people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus has died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. As we look back in John, and we see this family, these sisters, with Jesus, nothing is mentioned from them about worshiping God or believing that Jesus could still do the impossible. Now, last week I mentioned that grief is something we will walk through, but we can still, in grief, have hope and faith in Jesus. So Jesus here, later on in John, you can turn a few pages over, John chapter 14. Look at verse 1, 14:1. He says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me." You just turn the page, maybe some of your Bibles. Look at verse 27. "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." These were instructions from Jesus to the disciples as he was getting ready to leave. So as we look at our story today, we can remember what is taking place here. Now Jesus has become so troubled, it says in the verses, but what is going to happen next? He's going to take some action. So let's see what Jesus is going to do in response to this in verse 34, the second part of 34 and 37. They told him, "Lord, come and see." Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, "See how much he loved him." But some said, "This man healed the blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?" As this story continues to unfold, Jesus is walking with them. He's with them present. And then John, the author here, he tells us that Jesus wept. Again, I ask, why? Why did he weep? Why did he wept? Now, if we look at the word wept here in verse 35, we should know that it is a different word than in verse 33. It's different between when Jesus wept and when they wept. I'm not going to get too into that, but it is different. If we were to turn to Luke chapter 19, we see this. Luke 19:41. Here it talks about Jesus weeping. In verse 41, it says, "But as he came closer to Jerusalem, he saw the city ahead and he began to weep." So I see Jesus wept, and I believe he wept for the people. He wept because of their lack of faith, and they didn't understand who he was. And in today's story, in John chapter 11, the crowd misunderstood who Jesus truly was, and they didn't have faith in the miraculous works he could do. And this, I believe, is what troubled Jesus. The people saw Jesus' reaction, and again, they thought he was upset over Lazarus' death. He's going to raise him from the dead in a few minutes. He wasn't upset over Lazarus' death, obviously. He's going to raise him from the dead. Jesus was not troubled over this. Although, I do believe, and I know that Jesus did feel great compassion. I don't want to leave that out. Jesus, he feels compassion. He felt compassion for Mary, Martha, and I do believe he did grieve with them. Now, we will still, all of us will experience loss and grief in life, and Jesus will be there with us in compassion. But that said, in this passage, I believe that it wasn't Lazarus' death, it wasn't Mary or Martha, or the crowd's grief that had caused Jesus to be deeply moved in the spirit and troubled. There are different interpretations of why Jesus reacted this way. I want to give you all four, and maybe all four are right. I don't know. I'm going to give you my opinion, but I'm going to give you all four. The first one people say is that Jesus saw this and was reminded or saw what was going to happen to him in the death. The second one is that Jesus experienced this reaction or emotions because he knew the cost of sin. He knew that death, and he seeing the cost and the result of sin grieved him. That's what some commentaries would say. Some would say that Jesus wept, because we talked about it a minute, because of compassion and his love for the family, so he carried their burden. Now, I do believe this one is partially true, and Jesus does do this. But in this situation, the fourth one is the one I really personally believe, that Jesus wept because of his love for the people and the lost, because their faith was conditional, limited, incomplete, shallow, and did not glorify God. This is what I see here as a righteous anger from Jesus because of their lack of faith, or incomplete faith. This is what I started with, incomplete faith. She wasn't wrong. She didn't have the complete picture yet of who Jesus was. And many of us walk this way through our entire lives. Incomplete faith. They thought, no, this miracle was too big for Jesus. It had been too long. They didn't even have hope. Look at what's going to happen. John chapter 11, 38 through 39. Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. A cave with a stone rolled across his entrance. "Roll the stone aside," Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, "Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." Jesus, after experiencing and walking through all these different emotions, he was still, it says right there that he was still extremely upset, and he's going to take action. He's going to perform a miracle. He tells them to do something that made zero sense, right? It made zero sense. And in fact, It would even have caused great discomfort to the family that was grieving and all those around. I mean, Jesus is asking them to open up a grave. Think about that. It's apparent that Martha still didn't even consider that Jesus was going to bring back her brother Lazarus as she responded to his request. It's apparent. I like the King James Version. Ready? Verse 39. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." King James, gotta love it. So Jesus is going to perform a miracle and ask them in faith to be obedient to take the first step and remove the stone from the entrance of the tomb. Now Jesus, we know, he didn't need them to do this to perform this miracle, right? He could have just moved the stone himself. It's Jesus, it's God. But Jesus asked them there, the family, the people there present, to step out and do something that just absolutely did not make sense. To, in faith, in obedience, to take the first step as he's getting ready to perform a miracle. You know, often we see this in our own lives, don't we? As God is getting ready to move to do a great work, he'll call on us to be a part of that. And he'll call us to take a simple step that may not even make any sense at all, because this did not make sense to them. So let's read what they're going to do in verse 40 through 44. Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you you would see God's glory if you believe?" So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all the people standing here, so they will believe you sent me." Then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in the grave clothes, his face wrapped in the head cloth. Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go." What a statement from Jesus. "Didn't I tell you you would see God's glory if you believe?" And I think there's a lot of us here that need to hear that. Believing in Jesus means that today as we walk in faith, we are obedient to his word. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And believing in Jesus is an action that each one of us live out daily. Knowing there is nothing too big for God. There's nothing in our life that Jesus doesn't already know about. There's nothing that Jesus can't restore. There's nothing in your life that Jesus cannot provide for. Jesus has brought the dead to life here. "Lazarus, come out," he said. One commentary, I think you guys heard this, but I like this. One commentary said that if Jesus had just said, "Come forth," the whole graveyard would have came out. That's why he called on just Lazarus, right? You know, it's kind of funny, but it's true, right? In a way, because that is the power of Jesus. So Jesus performed this miracle that these people, why? Would know him and that he was sent by God. So they would come to believe. Come to believe in what? Exactly what he said before. The I am. I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live. That's today. Even after dying. Then it continues. There's two parts. For everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? A picture I see here. A great picture. Through faith in Jesus, we all know that we each join in the resurrection. We're born again. We're anew in Christ Jesus, each one of us. Everyone here that's placed their faith in Jesus. We each are no longer dead to sin. We are no longer bound in these grave clothes. We are freed from the bondage that held us before. Unwrap him and let him go. After Jesus performed this miraculous work, who comes around at that point? Jesus asks something else of the people, doesn't he? Who helps free us from what we were bound to before? Who walks with us? Who walks with us as we walk as free men and women? It was the church. It was those that came to believe, those that came to faith, celebrating and praising God together, unwrapping him, freeing him for what God has done. So in closing, in this story that had caused Jesus to weep, I believe it was their result of lack of faith. And again, there's different interpretations on that. That's okay. I do believe he had compassion. I'm sure of that. That's who Jesus is. But the situation with Mary, Martha, and the crowds, and many of us not understanding or having a complete faith in him is what caused him to weep. The people in the store didn't even consider that Jesus could raise Lazarus from the dead. They thought that was just too big a task. It was too late for him. He was too far gone. The situation was horrible. It had been 4 days since he had been dead. It would have seemed hopeless. But then Jesus, he did the impossible, didn't he? What everyone considered was impossible, he did it. And he did it for God's glory and for the sake of their faith, that they would know that he was sent by God so they would be saved. So through this, we know that Jesus is God. We know that he resurrects the dead, each one of us. Nothing is impossible through him, ever. So today we're celebrating Pentecost, and we know each one of us have the Holy Spirit living within us. And through this, we are empowered. We are given gifts to accomplish the Great Commission, to accomplish his will. And that we are never, never, no matter what's going on in our lives, without hope. We are never to be like Mary and Martha without hope. They thought it was hopeless. I don't know what God was going to do, but they were not hopeless. Because God is with us. So we know the power of God. We just read it today. And as we read stories like this, it should draw us closer to him. A deeper understanding of who he is. And it should draw us to worship him in faith. Our faith in Jesus should be deep and present today. And knowing what he's done for us. Knowing that we are a new creation today. Knowing that we are resurrected through faith, victorious over sin and death. And today we live an empowered, victorious life through the Holy Spirit. So before we close, there's another part I want us to remember. And I'm going to share a quote to start that from Warren Worsby. The fact that he loves us and we love him is no guarantee that we will be sheltered from the problems and pains of life. After all, the Father loved his Son, and yet the Father permitted his beloved Son to drink the cup of sorrow and experience the shame and the pain of the cross. We must never think that love and suffering are incompatible. Certainly, they unite us in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' death, hope wasn't lost. In fact, we have hope through his death and through his resurrection. And today we have the Holy Spirit as Jesus promised each one of us. We don't need to find ourselves ever hopeless. There's nothing too big in our lives that God cannot work a miraculous work through. But sometimes the miracles that take place is the miracle of God just allowing us to walk through a situation that would seem impossible without him. Others see in that faith that we have as we walk through difficult times and bringing God glory, and others seeing that and being wondering how. That's a miracle in itself, and it brings people to know God. So sometimes as we pray for miracles, as we face death and sickness, the miracle is us being resurrected through him, walking through a situation still with hope, still with faith, and being able to testify to others who Jesus Christ is. But remember, as we see this story, I believe what made Jesus weep, what made him deeply troubled and even angered, was the fact that Jesus was with them and they didn't have hope. They thought this was too big. He was too far gone. Please pray with me as the worship team heads up. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this privilege to study your word. And Lord, as I teach this, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that your spirit would just bless it, Lord. And each one of us, Lord, would just come to know you in a deeper sense. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that we just have this place to come. And Lord, again, Lord, as we continue our evening, Lord, in worship and fellowship, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would just speak to each one of us, Lord. And Lord, as I know there is different interpretations, Lord, and I wonder even today, Lord, what did you see there that brought you to weep? What did you see there that troubled you in your spirit? And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that each one of us, Lord, would walk in faith. And Lord, as each one of us walk through situations that seem impossible, that we look at it and we don't understand and we ask why, like this family did in this story. Lord, we would always come before you still with faith and hope, knowing that you're there working in it. And knowing, Lord, that you, Lord, love us so dearly that you gave your life for each one of us. And that you, Lord, are always there with us. So, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that each one of us would come to a deeper faith and know, the Lord, that nothing is too big for our God. That you are always among us. And you are always working. And you're always working to glorify the Father. And, Lord, we just praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.